Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Rob Hall. I'm one of the pastors here. Happy Easter, everyone. We have a tradition. I'm going to say he is risen, and you're going to holler back and say he is risen indeed. So let's try it. He is risen, church.
He is risen,
he is risen church.
He is risen.
Awesome. I read a story this week that made me laugh out loud. I want to talk about remembering this morning. And there were three sisters, ages 92, 94, and 96. And they all lived in the same house together. And the oldest one, the 96-year-old, drew a bath. And she put her foot in the bath and stopped and said, "Was I getting in the tub or out of the tub?" And she yelled back to her other sister. Meanwhile, the other sister, the 94-year-old, the little younger one, she said, "Hey, I'll come up and I'll help you figure that out." So she started to walk up the stairs. Halfway up, she stopped and said, "Am I going up the stairs or down the stairs, you guys?" And then the 92-year-old, the young one, just was laughing downstairs. And she thought to herself, "Gosh, I hope I never become that forgetful." And then she knocked on wood for good measure. And then she said, "Hey, girls, I'll come up and help you, but I need to run to the front door and see who's there." Get it? Knocked on wood, forgetful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all day, folks. I'm here all day. Here all day. I thought it was a lot funnier than that. Okay. But isn't it true, you guys, like how forgetful we become, especially the older you get, right? I mean, I was just listening to an NPR episode recently on my drive with my wife, and I couldn't listen to KNBR with her in the car. You know how that is, fellas, struggles. But we're listening to NPR, and a show came on, and people would call into the radio station and record different ways that how they wish they had memories of something, things they've forgotten about. And this one lady calls in, and she says, "You know, I wish I had more memories of high school." And she said, "I don't remember anything, so it must have been really great." You know, child of the 70s, I guess. Another caller called in, and she was a little more serious. She said, "I wish I had more memories of my father. He died when I was 12. And so my wife and I, as we were driving, we're talking about some of the different memories that we wish we had. And you know, I'm not very spiritual, so I said, "You know, honey, I wish I had more memories of playing football in high school. You know, especially my senior year, it was so much fun." And my wife, who's more spiritual, said, I wish I had more memories of the cul-de-sac that she grew up in as a child. For her, those were just some sweet, tender memories. What about you? What are some memories you wish you had more of? Well, when it comes to our spiritual lives, I believe that there is great power in remembering. But here's the problem that we have, and I think you'll agree. Here's the problem. We have this incredible tendency to forget the things we need to remember and remember the things we should forget. You following me? Right? And so instead of reminding ourselves that God loves us and has a purpose and a plan for our lives, that we are his children, that we are his sons and daughters, instead of doing that, we have this negative self-talk that's constantly playing in our heads, and we remember our sin and our struggles and our mistakes and all of our issues, and we just replay that over and over and over again. We feel guilty, and then we feel shame, and then we do something again and again. We struggle, and that's what we dwell on. And so it's really no coincidence that the word remember is found in the Bible 166 times. God told his people all throughout the Bible, time and time again, "Remember, remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Remember, remember." Why? Because the God who created us knows just how easy we forget. How easy it is that we forget who he is. We forget what he's done in our lives. We forget the hundreds of promises he's given us. And for some of us, and I'm so glad you're here this morning, some of you have forgotten the power and the importance of the resurrection. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, just briefly, just for the next couple of hours. We're going to, if you're new, just kidding. I'll be done in 20 minutes, tops. Some of you are like, oh no. Bro, I got brunch plans, homie. I'm going to slip out. But there was a man named Apostle Paul, and he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He was keenly aware of our propensity to forget God. And one of the letters he wrote was to a young man, his young protege, a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, pastoring in a big city called Ephesus, much like any of our cities in the Bay Area. And he was pastoring that church. Things were going well, but there was a group of people within the church that started getting loud. They started getting vocal. They started telling people that Jesus was just a man. That Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead. Like, who would believe such a fairy tale? And so since Timothy was sensitive and timid and young, he really didn't know how to handle that pressure. And so the church was declining, and he was emotionally just exhausted, and there were other things going on. He was just ready to give up. So Paul hears about this, and Paul writes not one but two letters, I believe, simply to encourage Timothy. And to remind Timothy of who God is and what God has done in his life. And so he tells Timothy in a couple of places to remain strong in God's grace. To, hey, Timothy, patiently endure suffering. Paul then uses three different images of a soldier and then an athlete and then a farmer, all to give Timothy a picture of dedication and hard work. And then Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 gives really Timothy the ultimate example of who he should follow. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If not, it'll be on the screen above my head. Let me just read it real quick. Timothy, again, excuse me, Paul writing to Timothy. Here it is. He says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Okay? The word remember here, I'm a Bible geek, so we look at stuff like this. The word remember that's used here in the original language, it's called an imperative. That means it's a command. The word is also in the present tense, which is the idea of this, keep remembering. You don't just remember Jesus once, you keep remembering him. So Apostle Paul is not just giving Timothy some really great advice. This is not like a fortune cookie, you know, little phrase like, hey, this might be good if you try that. No, Paul is saying, Timothy, as your older father in the Lord, as someone who's discipled you and raised you up, you need to listen to me. I'm commanding you to keep remembering three life-giving phrases about the life and person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul says, first, keep remembering Jesus was the Christ. Second, keep remembering that Jesus was raised from the dead. And third, keep remembering that Jesus was descended from David. And then Paul says, and this is my gospel. This is what Christianity is all about. I believe that in these three phrases, everything that we need to know about who Jesus is and what he came to do are contained right here in one verse. So let's just look at each of them briefly. First, remember Jesus was the Christ. Now, it seems a little odd to me that Paul is reminding a pastor to remember Jesus Christ. Like, that's kind of what we're supposed to never forget as pastors, especially. But you know what? That can happen to anyone, even pastors. Because life, I don't know if you've noticed this, but life has a way of just showing up and smacking us in the face, right? Many of you have gone through trials and suffering and pain, and you've had circumstances that were so hard that you forgot who you are, that you forgot who Jesus is and what he did for you. I mean, honestly, there are entire churches in the Bay Area that have forgotten Jesus Christ. Like, I'll just keep it real. Like, they may have beautiful church buildings that are historic. They might even have a small group of people that gather on a Sunday to sing a few songs, right? But if you go to some of those churches, there's no mention of the real Jesus, and there's definitely no mention of his resurrection. I mean, just this week, I was emailed a picture. I wish I could show it. A lady in our church who lives in Belmont, she stood out in front of this church, took a picture, sent it to some of our pastors, and kind of like, and the idea was like, can you believe this? And the banner in front of this church, and we can pick on Belmont, because that's farther away, right? Belmont. Who lives in Belmont, you know? That's good. But here's what the banner read. Here's the banner. Share Holy Week with us, and see how this progressive Christian church does Easter. And here's the kicker. What if we don't take the resurrection literally? Right? And so the idea is, hey, you can be a Christian. You could come to church on, and we're going to celebrate Easter, but we're not going to talk about the resurrection. That's ridiculous. That's a fairy tale. Jesus was just a great man. We can listen to his moralistic teachings. And hey, kids, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for everybody. It's going to be fantastic. Right? I mean, honestly, And I don't mean to pick on that church, but Paul would roll over in his grave at that banner. And so he tells Timothy, hey, first, remember, Jesus was the Christ. So let me ask you a trick question. Don't answer it because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Some people answer in the first service. I'm like, oh, you're wrong. What was Jesus' last name? Don't answer it. Don't answer it. All right? Okay, it's not Christ. That was not his last name. Okay? So, you know, some people, oh, what? So, I mean, many people would call Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus the son of Joseph, but Christ was not his last name in the same way that, like, my last name is Hall, right? Christ was actually a title that meant God's anointed one, the Messiah. So it's really correct to translate Jesus the Christ. And so it was a name for Jesus that showed that he was the long-awaited king and deliverer of God's people. And here's the deal. For centuries, God's people eagerly look forward to a prophesied Messiah who would come and usher in a new kingdom of peace and prosperity. And so all over the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, Jesus is clearly described as the Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew was a disciple. He wrote a biography of the life of Jesus. He quotes from Apostle Peter, who said this. Speaking to Jesus, Apostle Peter said, you are the what? Christ. Okay, hello. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Paul is commanding Timothy to look back and to constantly remember who it is that he was following and serving. Jesus was not just a great moral teacher who wore Birkenstocks and said great things, all right? He was not just a man like any other religious figure of our history. No, Paul says, Timothy, remember Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited rescuer who came to redeem us, to buy us back out of slavery. So that's the first thing we're told to remember. Paul then says, and the second thing, Timothy, you and I need to remember is Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, let me just say a few things. In that statement, it's assumed that before Jesus could be raised from the dead, he had to be dead. Right? Like actually dead. And that's important. And the reason why I need to explain that is because there were people back then and people today who believe that Jesus didn't actually die, that he was not actually dead. Instead, what happened on the cross is he passed out. Back in the 70s and 80s, they said he swooned on the cross. And then the disciples kind of resuscitated and brought him back to life later. Now, let me just, you know, tell you that's crazy. That's just crazy. I mean, just think about it, just real quick. Jesus was whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails, because if you did 40, most people almost would die before they even got to the cross. Then he was brutally nailed to a cross. He was then hung in the sun for 6 hours, right? Just to make sure he was dead, they took a spear, shoved it through his side, up through his heart. He was then brought down from the cross, embalmed with spices, wrapped in linen cloth, and then he was put in an airless tomb for 3 days that was then guarded by Roman centurions who were like what we would call ninjas today. You would not mess with them. The disciples are not going to come and say, hey, homie, move aside. I got to get my boy out. That would not happen, okay? Jesus was really dead. Now, why is that important? It's important because those of us who call ourselves Christians believe that Jesus died in our place and for our sins. And so just 2 days ago, we celebrated right here the Good Friday, and we call it good because the death of Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. See, sin had to be dealt with. Theologians call that the atonement. The death of Jesus satisfied the wrath of God, but the death of Jesus also shows us how much God loves us. And so God not only loved you by sending his son, God still loves you, and he willingly sent his one and only son to pay the price for your sin with the blood of his own son. In fact, the book of Hebrews says that Jesus went joyfully to the cross. Why? Because at the cross, both the wrath and justice of God was satisfied. And so Jesus, who is God, became a man and at the same time was God to restore a right relationship between God and man. And so Jesus not only died, the whole point, the whole reason why we're here is because we believe Jesus was raised from the dead. His spirit didn't just raise, as some people think, right? He was raised bodily, right? He came out of the grave bodily. He showed people his scars on his hands and his feet. The Bible says he even ate food. And so he was real. And the resurrection, theologians say, confirms what's called his deity. That means that Jesus was not only a man, Jesus was God. He was God incarnate. That simply means God with flesh on. And so Jesus was 100% man. Jesus was 100% God, both at the same time. Do I fully understand that? No. The Bible calls it a mystery, right? But no other religious figure in history ever claimed to be God and then proved it and proved he was God by rising from the grave. And so the resurrection of Jesus was really the public display of God's power. It was his public display that through the resurrection, Jesus defeated sin. Jesus defeated Satan, our enemy. And finally, Jesus defeated death. It's incredible. It's incredible. And so the resurrection is actually so important, it's so critical to the Christian faith that Apostle Paul, in another book he wrote, 1 Corinthians, it's not 1 Corinthians, as some people say, 1 Corinthians, G-O-P, the resurrection is so important, Paul said, that without a resurrection, we don't even have a faith. Paul says, not only do we not have a faith, we are still stuck in our sins, and our faith is futile without the resurrection. And so we celebrate Easter. Here's the kicker. We celebrate Easter not only because Jesus was raised, but here's the thing. We celebrate Easter because it reminds us that we too will one day experience a resurrection. One day, when Jesus returns, and by the way, we have no idea when that's going to be. If anyone on TV with a nice suit and fancy hair tells you when Jesus is coming back, turn the TV off, because the Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night. And when he comes, his kingdom will come to earth, and we're going to meet him in the air in our resurrected new bodies without sin, without disease, without sickness. You know what that means? That means that all your suffering, all your trials, all your pain, all your struggles in this life are only temporary, because crucifixion leads to resurrection. So death, and I say this all the time at funerals, death is not the end of life. Death is only the beginning of life. Remember, Jesus was raised from the dead. And then there's another thing. There's a final thing that Paul wants to tell Timothy. And he tells Timothy to keep remembering that Jesus was also descended from David. That Jesus was descended from David. So follow me here. If Jesus raised from the dead points to his deity, the fact that he is God, descended from David emphasizes his humanity. Jesus was an actual living person. And again, people back then and today say, no, he was only 100% divine. No, he was 100% God. He was descended from David. Now the focus here, and I think we miss this, the focus here is on his dual role as both Savior and King. Yes, as God, he can save us, but also he is the King, heir to King David's throne. And that means Jesus came not just to save us, but he came to make things right, to make things new, to establish on a kingdom where he rules and reigns, just as it is in heaven. Now listen to how one of the early followers of Jesus, Dr. Luke, who's also an eyewitness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, listen to what Dr. Luke said about this kingdom. He said, he, that's Jesus, will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will be temporary. No, what does it say? His kingdom will what? Never end. Never end. Never end. Why does Timothy need to hear that? Because Timothy needed to be reminded that God was doing something in history. That Jesus came not only to save us from our sins, but to establish an eternal kingdom that will never end. One that he's working on right now. And so the risen Jesus is the reigning Jesus. And Timothy needed to hear this because at the time that he was alive, he was living and a Christian and leading a church under the oppressive regime of the Roman Emperor Nero. Now, Nero, you guys, and if you study this in history, Nero was a piece of work. He was ridiculous. I mean, he took great pleasure in persecuting and even killing Christians. One story says that he supposedly set fire on Rome just so he could blame it on Christians and continue to kill them. That's how sick this man was. Many Christians, possibly historians tell us even Peter and Paul were both executed by Nero. Now, for us today, what does that mean? For us today, gosh, it means so much. As we hear and read about yet another brutal terror attack in Brussels, aren't you left wondering, like, gosh, is God really in control? Sure doesn't seem that way. Does God really still rule and reign? And, I mean, honestly, maybe he's stepped down from his throne. And see, Timothy needed to be reminded, we need to be reminded that when the world seems out of control, we need to remember Jesus was descended from David. That means that Jesus is ultimately in control. That means that Jesus reigns, that Jesus is the true king, but his kingdom is not fully established on earth yet. But it's coming, and he's coming. And he's going to make all things right again. Justice will prevail one day. If Paul could come in here and if he could speak to all of us, I think he would summarize this passage and say something like this. He would say, Timothy, or maybe insert your name there. Timothy, I want you to constantly remember, no matter what you're going through, I want you to constantly remember that as the living and reigning King Jesus Christ is able and even willing to help you and carry you through all your suffering, not Nero, but Jesus Christ, who is now exalted and at the right hand of the Father, who has the reins of the entire universe in his hands and will continue to govern all things for God's glory and for your good. So Timothy, whatever happens, never lose courage, never give up. Why? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David, because that's what will keep hope alive in the midst of what seems to be a hopeless situation. And how could Paul say that? Paul could say that as a person who was in a Roman dungeon writing this letter about to be executed. Remember Jesus Christ. And so let me ask a question. If it's so important to remember these things about Jesus, and if you're a follower of Jesus, let me talk to you for a second. What's keeping us from remembering Jesus in this way? I think a bunch of things. Like, we live in a world of constant distraction that's always trying to turn our attention away from God, right? I mean, we're distracted by all of the messages and images we hear about and read about from the media and in the entertainment world, saying that, hey, this is what life is really all about. So go find your true self. You can do and be anything, especially if you buy this and eat that and travel there and lose more weight, all by eating bread. I love bread, says Oprah, right? And if she can do it, so can you. Oh, by the way, she's a part owner of Weight Watchers. So yeah, I get it, Oprah. Yeah, you ain't fooling me. Sorry. And if it's not the media, I don't know if you've noticed this, but life has a way of slowly distracting us from what's important. Right? It's easy to forget because of the daily grind of life in the Bay Area and our family and our work and everything that we're doing. And many of you are here. It's been a while since you've been back to church because you've been distracted, and we're glad that you are here. But that's why I think one of the reasons God allows suffering and pain in our lives is because that has a way of stripping us of all the things that distract us, right? It reminds us of our need for God. Like when things are going great, oh man, it's easy to forget about God. Man, when I'm hurting, when I'm in pain, oh God, where are you, right? But when we remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we remember our pain. We remember our sorrow. We know it's real, but what, you know what? We know and believe that it won't have the last word, that we're going to experience it resurrection too. So Paul then ends and he says, this is my gospel. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy and all of us to remember the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, because remembering the gospel gives us strength for the present and hope for the future. See, it's in remembering what God has done in the past helps us to live for faith, by faith in the future. So just for a moment, think about it. Think about all of the times of struggle that you have gone through. Think about all your suffering, all your pain, everything that's happened to you. And I want you to ask yourself, what did God do? Was he faithful? Did he come through for you? As you look back, maybe you're out of that storm finally. As you look back, do you realize that, man, God got me through that and God grew me and grew my faith through that? And maybe you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, and you'd be honest, you would say, Rob, I think God has let me down. God hasn't been faithful to me. I'm struggling. And he seems to be existent. Maybe it's only because God is not done with you yet. Your story is not over, right? You still have something to learn and you're fighting back, right? So ultimately, though, we remember Jesus Christ not just to have a memory of him. We want his actual presence. We want him to be with us. And friends, that's the hope of Easter. We don't just have a memory of Jesus. We don't just read about him in the Bible. We don't just hear stories about him from other people. No, Easter is a celebration of his presence, that he is alive and he's right here, right now. And so that means that there is no obstacle or enemy too great for him to conquer. That means that you are never going anything that you're going through. You're never alone. You're never alone. And some of you are facing something that is far greater and far harder than you could ever possibly handle on your own. And I know people well. I've been a pastor for a long time now. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to handle it on your own. And it doesn't work. And so Paul is telling Timothy, stop handling this problem on your own. Instead, remember and look to the risen Savior and King. He is right there with you, Timothy. You are not alone, Timothy. So in the face of suffering and pain, like, we don't want just answers. We don't want slick answers from the Bible when we're struggling. You know what we want? We want a person. And that's what Jesus offers all of us today. He offers us this Easter himself. And so let me talk to a few of you in the room. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you think this is all cool and whatever. And there are really, I would just encourage you, three things God wants you to do this morning. If you're not a Christian, first, I would encourage you to accept his love for you. Put down your guard and accept what Jesus did for you. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus is crazy in love for you. He loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. Second, believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. We do take the resurrection literally here. And that's what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ, is trusting in who God is and what he did for you in Jesus. And the third thing, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, is you then commit your life to Jesus. That does not mean you become super religious. I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about a personal relationship with the God of the universe, Jesus Christ. And if you want, today I'll give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. But God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. Apostle Paul wrote another book of the Bible called Romans. We've been studying that in church for several months now. And in chapter 10, he summarizes exactly how to know Jesus personally. Let me just read these two verses. Paul writes, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be religious. You will be a really good person. You will stop doing all the crazy stuff." No, what does it say? You will be saved. "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, just really good people who believe in him." No, who? Everyone. Say it with me again. "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." See, the good news of Christianity, what we call the gospel, is not about what you do, but about what's been done for you. We are deeply flawed people. The Bible calls that sin. And since we know that according to the Bible, only perfect people get into heaven, there's a major problem. And last time I checked, none of y'all are perfect, right? And so we've all missed the mark. The penalty for sin is eternal death and separation from God. But God, in his love, in his mercy, provided a solution, a way out, a rescue plan. He sent his one and only son into the world, both God and man, to die in our place and for our sin. Jesus was the perfect and final sacrifice for sin, and he fully paid the debt we owe to God. He was then buried in a tomb, and in 3 days he rose from the grave, defeating sin, Satan, and death. The tomb was empty, his body was gone, and that means that he is alive and living with all of us who call on his name. That's what Christianity is all about. Remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel. This is why we celebrate. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Hey, would you all bow your heads and pray with me as we close? I'm going to invite Tim and the worship team to come forward. And as we pray, I remember for me in 1994, I heard a message very similar to this. I was a 17-year-old and I did not know God. I was not religious, never been to church. And some guys on my football team suckered me into going to church. And I heard this message about a Savior who wanted to forgive me of my sins, who wanted to be my heavenly Father. And as I sat there, as I was praying, I was going, wow, could this really be true? And it was there that night that I placed my faith and my trust in Christ. And I just want to encourage you, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, here is the simple prayer, the one that I prayed many, many years ago to begin following Jesus. And if you want to pray this prayer, if you want to become a Christian, just say this prayer to yourself in your own heart. You don't need to say it out loud. We're not going to embarrass you. And the prayer is simply this. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and on the third day you rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sins, and here right now, give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to say a few things before we close. If you prayed that prayer, or if you're interested in knowing more about God, I just want to encourage you. We're not going to have you raise your hand or come to the front or anything like that. I want to encourage you to do one simple thing. Come back to church. Come back to church, right? I just want to implore you to take 1 month, 4 weeks, and come check out what God is doing at CPC. Hey, if you can do like Whole 30 for like a month, you can come to church for a month, okay? You can do it. I believe in you. And I want to do that because, you know, there's a thing, a word that we pastors tease about with people. We call people who come on Christmas and Easter. You know, we call you, some of y'all, creasters. You ever heard that? Creasters. Right? Christmas and Easter Christians. Don't be a Christmas and Easter Christian, right? Come faithfully just for 1 month. And you know what? After that month, if you think we're all weird and crazy, if you don't like any of the talk about Jesus or the Bible, hey, we'll let you go. We don't even take attendance. You never have to drop off a dollar in the offering plate, okay? But I believe that for some of you, if you make that small commitment just to come back for 1 month, I believe it may be exactly the thing you've been missing in your life. I believe God can and will do something amazing in your life, but guess what? You got to show up. And I believe he wants to remind you every day, not just today, but every day, that you are never alone, that he is still alive and he wants to do something in your life. So for some of you, I just want to encourage you, man, would you make that commitment? And hopefully we'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Amen.